What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Tuesday, the 31st of March. It's the last day of the month. Might be payday for some of you. It's rent, very much overdue day for me. Totally forgot about that. Better get that shit sorted. I can't see me getting any gifts or any reductions. So even though I haven't earned fuck all money this month, I'm sure I'm going to have to fucking pay through the nose still. They'll probably say, you've had more time in the house, you owe me more. You probably fuck, I'm upping the rent. You're supposed to be out and about at work. But yeah, fucking shit don't get easy. It's all right, I don't mind this fucking staying in but stuff as long as the money's coming in. Like many of you, it's we're having to tighten the old belt. So this is where the old cooking skills comes in. When you look in the fridge, I remember once I used to look in the fridge and think, I don't know what to make out of that. I can do ready, steady, cook now. I can open the fridge and it'll be empty. And I'll come up with a fucking gourmet three-course meal out of it. Times, you know, when times get hard, you've got to get creative. The clocks changed the other day. I forgot all about that. So for a very short period of time, I didn't know what day it was. And I didn't know what time it was. So I didn't know what time of what day it was. That's a total new one on me. It's like I was in space. It's like this locking slowly going kind of nuts by yourself is like a free drug, isn't it? I quite like it. I'll tell you what, the social distancing, that can stick around long after this thing's cleared up. I'm quite fucking, I can dig that. Social distancing, people keep the fuck away from me when I'm walking down the street. No one's getting in my way with their phones, you know, the people are fucking about on the phone and walking you off the road and not looking where they're going and all that shit in crowds. Oh, winds me up when you have to dodge them. So I tell you what, that's a little piece of goodness that's come out of this whole fucking shit situation. You won't have many mansplainers, what they're called, manspreaders on the train, the people who are fucking trying to touch everybody, or people who are like, you know, you will on the tube, because the tube, you've got no fucking choice, there's too many people for the amount of space available. The space in London is like at a premium. And there ain't enough of it. Even the tubes, the trains are every fucking 2 minutes and they're still jam-packed. Tell ya, it's crazy. London as anybody that takes on the fucking rush hour in London, you're fucking hard as nails. But anyway, but this lockdown is also gives you an idea what it's like. Well, as I said before, like to be in a cushy prison. I was going to say what it's like to be in prison, but prison, you're doing 23 hours a lot of time in a cell that's fucking, you know, probably the horriblest one person cell. Or maybe there's four of you in there with one fucking stinky toilet and you're allowed out for 1 hour of a day. At least we're allowed out to go and have a little look around, a little mooch about in the sunshine, because and the rest of the time you can look out the window at the sunshine wishing you was out there. Hey, but if you haven't got the virus, fucking count your blessings and count your lucky stars, because there's a lot of people who are feeling a lot shitter than I am at the moment. Prince William's going out on going out in his helicopter. He wants to get out. He's sick. He's found a way of getting out. He's sick of like being stuck indoors as well. Even though he's in Buckingham Palace or somewhere massive like that, he's like, I'm fucking going stir crazy in here. I'm going to get out and get flying the helicopter. Get back on the road, see what I can do. Or back on the back in the air. I tell you what, that'd be pretty good if you got picked up by the prince. If you were suffering and you got picked up, you'd probably think you were fucking, you know, probably give you a heart attack on top of your coronavirus. But or you'd probably have like think you're hallucinating, wouldn't you? Prince William turns around and goes, "All right, it's only me. How you doing?" He's probably dealing with, not coronavirus anyway, he's probably dealing with car accidents and that. You forget, coronavirus is one part. There's loads of other fucking shit still going on. Still car crashes. Well, there shouldn't be car crashes. There shouldn't be many cars on the road, but there's still other shit going on. There's still a million other ways to die in the West Midlands. But anyway, that would like brighten up your day if you did have a crash and Prince William was flying you into hospital. That's probably give you a little bit of a buzz, wouldn't it? You can probably get the lowdown on a few questions, you know, if you're a royalist anyway. I was going to say, some ex-paper boys are doing their rounds. After 30 years, they've gone back on their paper rounds, helping out the shop and whatever. And that's another chance to get out of the house, feel like you're doing something for the community and get out. So there you go. If you want to get out of the house, volunteer and do something that way. You can get out and fucking help somebody, and you get to relieve yourself of your four walls for a short period of time. You know, it's almost worth it, isn't it? Or you're going to help somebody. There's plenty of people. It's got 750,000 volunteers, isn't they? So you might not even get called upon, but it's almost worth putting your name down. What was I going to say? Sleep pods. Who fancies being... Or if you don't like it, maybe you could, like, the old... If you're rich enough, you could do and put yourself in a sleep pod, you know, like what they do in space, in Alien, when they put yourself in a... and freeze you until they get to their destination 2,000 light years away or whatever it might be, and then they wake you up and say, it's all done, it's all over, don't worry, we've come to we've arrived, the coronavirus is, that was years ago, we're fucking 10 years after that now, it's all rosy. It'd be like that, we're fucking, well, half the population's gone, but still, you know, we're having to put you on building, you know, fixing the roads and doing all that detail. You can't go back to your old job. We need labourers. Everyone who's fucking died, all the working class are all dead. So now you are rich, but now you're going to have to do some of the dog's body work, I'm afraid. Could get like that. I remember watching Alan Wicker. If anybody's seen Alan Wicker, Wicker's World, fucking brilliant they were. Really good, really clever guy. But he did some, one of his one was in San Francisco when he was going around meeting all the acid heads. That was all on trips and everything while he was talking to him with his suit and everything. He looked all smart and he was asking them like really canny questions, should I say. And that was all tripping and just giving you an idea of what it's like to be in their world while they're talking to him. But he was talking about there's a place there cryogenically frozen, a lot of rich people who had terminal illnesses, and they froze themselves and they hoped to be brought back to life in the future. This company made millions freezing these people, millions. How it was legal, I don't fucking know. But they, anyway, they made millions off them. These people froze them. Hopefully they was going to get woke up in the future and be brought back to life and then cured of their disease and they're good to go. But the place went bankrupt and fucking they all got buried. They all got fucking carted off and, like, you know, closed it down. And I don't think anybody tried to relieve anybody. They just buried them all. So, not funny, but I think they were fucking frozen to... They just assumed they're dead, didn't they? So, to put them in the ground and moved away. So, that was a faux pas on their behalf. So, think before you do something like that. You might not come out of it the other end. Or if you do, you might not like what you come out to. So live your life now. Enjoy it while you can. There's a jigsaw man. This guy's fucking enjoying himself. They're calling him the jigsaw man. The jigsaw fan, and he's a jigsaw man. He basically checks all the jigsaws that get handed into charity shops. So if you ever go into a charity shop and you're thinking, I ain't going to buy that jigsaw because I don't know if the fucking pieces are there. Because you always, that's exactly what I would think. Like a 10,000 piece jigsaw, and there's one piece missing, that would piss you off. That would piss me off forever. But this guy does them all. He takes them home, does them, and if there's anything missing, he throws it in the bin. And if there isn't anything missing, he puts it back, sellotapes it up, and puts it back in the charity shop. But you've always got people who think they're comedians or, you know, arseholes who would go in and would nick pieces out just to make that situation occur. They'd go into the charity shops and nick a couple of jigsaw pieces out just to make somebody pissed off in the future. I'm not saying I've ever done it. I'm not saying I've known anybody that's done it, but I can see that that could come into somebody's mind as a good practical joke. I did have something else. There's that piece of paper done. I keep putting it away. Oh, there was a hospital ship pulled into New York yesterday. Was it yesterday? Anyway, the hospital ship has pulled into New York to obviously take on patients, I think, for the... I don't think it's coronavirus patients. It might be other patients who do other stuff. But loads and loads of crowds all gathered to take photos and of the ship coming in, which has obviously helped to relieve the situation on the hospitals from the coronavirus. And fucking thousands of people all turned up down there. That's like ironically missing the point of the whole fucking thing, isn't it? They're all like stood almost on each other's shoulders taking photos and filming the ship coming in. What did they call it? What was it? I don't know what the name of the ship was now, but the fucking police should have been down there clearing that away straight away. Especially in New York, where it's, I thought they were on lockdown. Have they just gone, ah, oh, fuck it, there's a hospital ship coming in. I'm a ship spotter first. I'm a, like, survivor of coronavirus second. Let's get things in order. Come on, people. Wake up. The ship's not that important. You'll be there when it's all fucking over, I'm pretty sure. You might end up on it, and then you're going to fucking be happy, are you? Claudia Schiffer has revealed that she, in the height of her fame, she needed to needed security guards to guard her underwear. When she used to go on the runway, I thought that was in her house. I thought, fuck you now. I know people were into her. She was like the hot model at the time. She was one of the first supermodels, wasn't she? But she used to, like, when she'd go on the catwalk, people used to nick her bras and her underwear and everything and do a runner. Good job. She was like, probably like fucking had a, that kind of stuff was given to her, like, by the van load, I'm sure. But still, not nice to come back and find your clothes all gone, innit? It's like, but still, that's like coming out of the swimming pool, you know, when you come out of, like, the sea and somebody's nicked all your clothes and you've got no, you, for a practical joke. That one's fucking well stamped in the book of to-dos to your friends, isn't it? Especially to a stag on a stag night. But anyway, she's had all her underwear nicked quite a lot. It's probably the security who's doing it. Probably still got nicked, even though the security guy was doing it. But a bit of a weird thing to do, though, isn't it? You can imagine a lot of people going, oh, you know, telling their friends that, like, as it, and saying, I've done it as a prank, but really I wanted Claudia Schiffer's underwear. And your friends would go, you fucking weirdo. You're like some fucking stalker. I don't like that joke. That's a bit odd. You know, go and get a fucking photo with her or something. That's about it. That nick her underwear and, like, you know, you don't know what you do, what they're doing with it. Probably haven't even washed it even now. Very odd. I don't think anybody's going to be doing that to me in the height of my fame. I don't think anybody's going to want to come near any of my underwear. Oh, to be the bottom end of the scale when it comes to adoration. That's the word I'm trying to get out. Astronauts, we may be used to build moon bases, experts claim. Scientists say that urine from spacemen and women can be mixed. They always have to say that, spacemen and women, because you got to be seen to be not being sexy. Spacemen and women. What about the space women? But anyway, you can mix their wee with lunar dust to make a form of concrete. Well, they're going to need a lot of it if they want to build a fucking space base, surely. They'll have to be fucking getting pissed out of their brains. Then they might as well just use all the fucking drink. Well, actually, no. Enjoy the drink. Piss it out. Because you're not going to, you have to do it with alcohol so you can, like, probably get it, like, stronger wee, maybe. And plus, you're not going to just keep drinking loads and loads and loads of water to piss it out, because that's going to be boring, isn't it? If you want me to stay up here for a few months, I want to take crates and crates and crates of lager, then I can piss that out, build it, create building blocks, and then we can build, you know, some moon bases or some places for people to live in or to work in or whatever. That's going to take forever. Sorry. Anyway, good idea. But they do it here already, don't they? They're just taking that idea from places like in Africa and that, where they build huts and stuff out of animals' urine and muck, you know, shit and whatnot. It works. But up there, they haven't got anything like, you know, they haven't got a Wix up on the moon, have they? Wix or what's it called? A trade shop. What are they called? Travis Perkins. Only Travis Perkins up on the moon, don't it? So you have to come up with the ideas like that. Anyway, where was I going? A swingers party has had to close due to the virus. Well, I should fucking hope so. There ain't no social distancing at a swingers party, is there? Wouldn't be fucking much of one. That's just like, you know, you stand over there and let me watch you, and I'll stand over and you watch me and my wife. That's all it is. That's basically dogging, indoor dogging. So they've had to close, and I'm pretty sure there's more than a fucking virus that you can catch at a swingers party. They'd have to be like fully like that Hamzat thing if they let it carry on. You'd have to have the full fucking thing, wouldn't you? You'd have to have a super duper, you know, plastic fucking Hamzat thickness condoms and stuff. It ain't going to be no fun. Just wait. Just give it a rest for a fucking month or two. Tell you what, some people, the sex addicts, are going to find that very hard to do. Right, let's move on. I'm running out of time. A fifth of us are sleeping on pillows that are dirty, with a quarter of their weight in dead skin cells and dust mites. A survey of 2,000 people by bed firm Silent Night found one in five have not washed their pillows in 5 years. I tell you what, that's fucking put me off my fucking dinner. It's also put me off my pillows. Silent Night, do you think they're just trying to get fucking sales up or what during this crisis? I'll tell you what, the bed industry has hit a fucking skids at the moment. So let's, while everybody's in their house, let's put the frighteners on them and tell them all their stuff that they haven't changed in 5 years is like fucking, what's it called? Dead skin cells and dust mites and potentially harmful to their health on top of the coronavirus. Let's get the sales of pillows up. Well, it might have worked on me. Let's fucking wait and see. I might go be checking my pillows over later. See if I see anything crawling around. You'd think you'd be able to see them if a fifth of it is like dust mites. You think you might be able to see them with the human eye. I'll have to get me magnifying glass on it or something. A man has been tasered for coughing at the police when officers claimed he claimed to be infected with the virus. So that fucking come unstuck there, didn't he? And good on him. That's pretty much a deadly weapon, what he's doing, isn't it? Coughing at him. So he's just fucking shot him with a taser. Oh, I bet that fucking policeman was dying to use it as well. He's probably thinking, this is my chance. Go on, I'd fucking dare you, punk. Make my day. You cough in my face, I'm going to fucking... I've been dying to use his taser. Bang. And the guy's fucking jolting around on the floor like a fucking... like he's breakdancing. A shit breakdancing. And fucking pleading for him to, like, you know, let him go. Perfect. I tell you what, that's... Do it a lot. I'd like to see that more often from the police during this outbreak. I'd like to see more of those stories. There was a great thing the other day. The police were being killjoys on. There's a video that's gone around on Facebook. It's a bloke on his balcony in Scotland, I think he was, in like some council estate. You know, like the shitty council estate blocks that everybody has to sort of live in. They're not fucking nice to look at, but. The people in them are just funny as fuck anyway, because working class are the best in the fucking in society. That's where I come from. But what's I going to say? He stood on his balcony, dressed as Elvis, singing in bollocks! I forgot the song. It's one of my favourite Elvis songs as well. I meant to say what it was. Bollocks, can't remember. Anyway, he sung this Elvis song off his balcony, but the police turned up. He had his speaker blasting out, giving it. You can see the washing line, like, off all the other balconies and everything like that. And he's just, like, in the middle one, just as Elvis, giving it some. And the police turned up, and they're trying to go up, and they're trying to knock on his door. He's in the middle block, and they're trying to get in, and the other one's on the floor. And he's going, like, afterwards, he's giving a shout-out to the NHS and a shout-out to the police and everything who are doing a great job during the crisis and whatnot. And they're trying to arrest him or tell him to turn his music off. So, you know, good on him. Fucking, it just goes to show that no matter where you are, wherever you are in the world, there's always an Elvis Presley impersonator. So great. What was the fucking song? I can't remember. I'll tell you tomorrow. Come back if you're desperate to know. Another great show, Red Dwarf. Who hasn't seen Red Dwarf? If you're from another country, watch Red Dwarf, because it's fucking brilliant. It's one of the great sitcoms, from English sitcoms, and we've got many of them. But anyway, the Red Dwarf star, Danny Jones, Jules, reckons the series should be hailed as Britain's first diverse comedy. The show, which has got... it is a diverse comedy, isn't it? Because it's got it's got the first show that I've ever seen. It's got a white guy, a mixed-race guy, a black cat man... and a robot white man, all in the same show. So that's as diverse as you can get. I don't think there's been ever been one since. So I back him up on that claim. I think he should definitely be the most varied cast that there ever has been. And there's a new film coming out soon, so check it out. You'd have to go through the back catalogue before. You've got plenty of time on your hands. Get through it all and then watch the film. Right, I'm going to finish up on that, I think. So hopefully you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you again tomorrow. See you later. Bye.